I'm glad to be here, and Lois is also down for the count. She's in that crowd, and she let me know yesterday that she was really sad that she wouldn't be able to be here this morning. My phone went off yesterday morning about 8 o'clock, which is pretty early for my phone to go off, generally speaking. And after I fumbled for it and dropped it on the floor and picked it up and finally was able to answer it, I got Steve's voice on the other end. It's like, I'm sick. I can't come. I can't preach tomorrow. Can you preach for me? So here I am. But in all seriousness, I'm excited to have the opportunity to share. So Wednesday was Christmas, and today's the last Sunday of 2024, last Sunday of the year. How many of you have already got your decorations down, your tree down? Anybody? There's a couple. There are actually several in the morning service that's like, oh yeah, we've already done that. This time of year in Moscow is actually a beautiful time of the year, as you can see there. They decorate the entire city, and everywhere you go, it's decorated. We live probably a half hour outside of the center of the city, and you know, right in front of our apartment building, there's a giant Christmas tree that they light up, and it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. And I was talking to Bob on Christmas Eve, and this string of lights that you see behind us, I said, gee, it makes me feel right at home, because this time of year in Moscow, almost every building you come across, certainly all of the businesses, you'll see these lights strung just along the walls, just like this, on the outside. And they do that, one, they do it because it's festive. But two, they do that because it helps to compensate for the lack of sunlight this time of year. Because right now in Moscow, you've got about 7 hours of daylight. The rest of the time is dark. And that's about 2 hours more a day than what you guys have here. And makes a difference. You get up, you go to work in the dark, you come home in the dark, you know, everything you do is in the dark. And so they light up the city with artificial light to make up for it. But no, Christmas, or this time of the year, is a beautiful time of the year in Moscow, and not just Moscow, but all of the cities all across Russia. And you can see that. That's right outside, not too far from Red Square. And no matter where you go, all these different pockets around the city, which the city's massive, they do the same thing. You know, it's just, they go all out. They go all out. And for Western expats like us, those maybe from the UK a lot, from the UK, from Europe, we get the privilege of having two Christmases every year. Because we celebrate Christmas, Western Christmas, on the 25th, which in Russia is just another day. And, because in Russia, the big holiday, everything that you think about for Christmas, they do for New Year's. The gift giving, Ded Moroz, Father Frost comes instead of Santa Claus, but all of the festivities, the trees, everything is not for Christmas, but for New Year's. And New Year's is their big holiday. And right this time of year, you know, at this time of year on New Year's Eve, their typical rundown will be right before midnight. The president will address the nation. It'll be broadcast all across the country. And then at midnight, when the clock tower on Red Square strikes 12 o'clock, after the end of the last chime, they'll have about 10, 15 minutes worth of fireworks all over the city, not just one location. And then after that, the party starts. When Americans are saying, I'm done, I'm going to bed, they're just getting started. And so they will go back to their homes, and they'll be feasting, you know, all kinds of festive foods like herring in a fur coat, salad Olivier, which we would look at and say, oh, that's potato salad. And different things. Of course, there's champagne, there's vodka, there's cognac, and they're having a grand time. And we will, you know, if you want to sleep on New Year's Eve, you might as well forget it because they'll go until 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. We've been to the fireworks on New Year's Eve in the center and come back and gotten back home at maybe 1, 1:30 by the time you travel back with all the mob in the metro system. And as we're coming back to our apartment, the fireworks in the neighborhood are still going off, and they'll just continue to do that. So, I mean, it's a big festive occasion. And then on January the 7th, they celebrate Orthodox Christmas, and it's strictly a religious holiday. And Lois, for her, she loves it because they separate the celebration of Christ's birth from all of the partying, the gift giving, and all of the hullabaloo. You know, for us, so many times, it's very easy to get caught up in Christmas, and the birth of Christ just kind of gets forgotten about. You know, because it's party, it's presents, it's, you know, all of that nonsense. And in Russia, Christmas is Christ's birth, and that's all it is. And they celebrate it on January the 7th. And between January the 1st and the 10th, it's just like one big party. And it just keeps on going and going and going, and they set things up. These decorations that you see there, and that's just one. I could show you picture after picture after picture. But that'll stay up until the end of February. You know, they celebrate. They celebrate. And I can remember in 2010 when we first got there, they used to say, well, you know, this time of year would be the only time that you could see Russians smile. Because they were celebrating. Because the standing joke is that, you know, this is a Russian smile. But this time of year, they can actually smile. They're happy, they're pleasant, they're polite, because they're just enjoying this type of holiday. But you know what? For a lot of people, 2024 has been a hard year. And I know for a lot of people, including us, it's like, just can't wait for 2024 to be over with and done and to move on to a new year and put that one behind us. This time last year, Lois was the sole caregiver for her mother, and she was watching her evaporate before her eyes day after day until she finally passed just a couple of days after Christmas, January the 3rd, I think. And so right now, she is reliving day by day. Well, this time last year, this was happening. This time last year, this happened. This time last year, this happened. And it's just been miserable. My cousin, Paula, just a few months ago, she lost her oldest son to a drug overdose. She was the one to find him in the bedroom. As a parent, I can't even imagine. I have no clue. I can't even fathom what that would be like. And right now, she's struggling going through the first Christmas without her oldest son. We all know that Brandon and Deanna went through a similar thing just a couple of months ago with her sister, and it was brutal. For us, our last year at Hinkson was really, really hard. Made it to the end of the year with great effort. And after it was not at all what we wanted, but this is what it was. And by the time it was over with, we just want to go. We just want to go. We got to get out of here. And many of you, 2024 has been difficult. And many of you are thinking, oh, we're just going to get it behind us. But as we look ahead to a new year, I thought about this yesterday. It's like, Lord, what kind of message do you have for us to think about as we're beginning a new year? And actually, with us just finishing Christmas, I thought yesterday, it's like, you know what? I think it's appropriate that Christmas is at the end of the year, just before New Year's. Because as I thought about it more and more, it's like, Christmas is not over. It's just the beginning. Christmas is not the, right now, Christmas hasn't finished, but it's the beginning of something. Because what is the celebration of Christmas? The celebration of Christmas is the coming of God into the world as a little baby. And what happened after that? He lived. He grew up. He had a ministry. He taught people. He performed miracles. He was crucified. It wasn't the beginning. It wasn't over. It was just the beginning. And one of our favorite movies at Christmas time is Scrooge, A Christmas Carol. And we will watch all the different versions of Scrooge. You know, the Alistair Sims version, the musical version from 1970, the Mr. Magoo cartoon, you know, anything that we can find. There's a real old one from like the 30s, you know, and we'll watch that one because we love the story. You know, that story of redemption, that story of the transformation that takes place in Scrooge. And we watched one Friday night, stayed up super late, far later than we anticipated, and watched one with Patrick Stewart that we'd never seen before. And as we're sitting there watching it, and I picked up on the ghost of Christmas present, and what does he say? He says, Christmas is not only one day of the year, but all 365. The Christ child lived in men's hearts all 365 days of the year. And at the end of the movie, we hear Scrooge say, after this incredible transformation, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. And he does. You know, I will not forget the lessons that the ghost of Christmas, past, present, and future have taught me. We do Advent. We've done Advent with our kids since they were little. And in 97, we put together our own Advent book at Lois's Pursuit and Drive. And so Wednesday evening, we celebrated Christmas Day, and we got to the last page of our Advent book with this poem, one of Lois's favorite poems, The Work of Christmas. And it says, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, and to make music in the heart. As I thought about what is the message that God has for us this last Sunday of the year, what I came to was that we have to take the spirit of Christmas into the new year. Because what is the message of Christmas? Christmas is the celebrating the beginning of God coming to earth to dwell among us. John 1:14, one of my favorite verses. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And as I was thinking about this yesterday, it occurred to me that this dwelling among us is a progression. And it started with Jesus living among us, God in the flesh with skin on, walking the earth, performing miracles, teaching the people, walking to show us what the Father was like, to be an example of the life that we should live. What was the message of Jesus? His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17. It was at hand to undo the works of the kingdom of darkness that was dwelling and covering the earth. We've seen a lot of that kingdom of darkness in our own country around the world this past year and in the years prior. Isaiah 61, the prophet Isaiah said of the Messiah that he will bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He goes on in chapter 42, he says of Messiah that a bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. A Messiah like that, that's good news. That's good news that people want to hear. And we know that when Jesus was on earth, the sinners, the outcasts, the downtrodden of society, they were attracted to him. They were drawn to him. Why? Because they perceived that he loved them. They perceived that he cared about them. He said, I haven't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I've come to seek and to save those that are lost, the lost sheep of Israel. And last of all, to die in our place as a sacrificial lamb. So, the first thing was to dwell among us in the flesh. But then what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came. And Jesus went from dwelling among us to dwelling inside of us. No longer were we sometimes with Jesus and sometimes not with Jesus. Now he was with us all of the time. All of the time. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I won't leave you as orphans, but I will send the Holy Spirit. The next step in that progression. And then finally, the coming of the Holy Spirit brought about the birth of the church. And with the birth of the church, God began to live through us to others as the church became the hands and the feet of Jesus. So Jesus wasn't limited to one place at one time, but Jesus, through the church, could be everywhere. Everywhere. God dwelling among us. But how do we do that in a practical way? It's like, okay, that's a great idea. That's a great concept. But how do we do that? And I think that now, at this time of the year, it's a good time for us to stop and to reflect on what we're doing and why we're doing it. We can go into the new year with a renewed sense of purpose and be intentional about the things that we do. I think sometimes, I know for myself, it's easy to get caught up in that pattern of just doing because that's what we do. And you don't really think about why you're doing it, you're just doing it. And is that a good way to do it? And it's not so much that we begin to do new things or we stop doing the things that we're doing, although God may bring new opportunities our way. But we think about why we're doing it. And we do it with a purpose. We do it with a sense of being intentional. How do we do that as a church? Kerwinsville Alliance, there's a lot going on here. There's Bible study. There's small groups. There's one of the things that's impressed me is the heating fund. And all of the churches in the community get together and make contributions to provide a heating fund so that those that are in difficult needs can have heat for the winter. That's a tangible ministry. That's God among us in the community. We just finished the Angel Tree ministry, and the church came together to buy gifts, to provide gifts, so that the children of people that are incarcerated would have something for Christmas, would have a little bit of joy this time of year in what is otherwise a very difficult time of the year, I'm sure. As a denomination, what do? We have the Great Commission Fund. And we send missionaries all over the world to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to share the good news, to build and to plant churches. Over the years, Mission Christian organizations have built hospitals, have provided medical treatment, have set up charities to minister to the orphans, to the sick, to the poor. Samaritan's Purse that goes into disaster areas with relief, that does Operation Christmas Child all over the world. The church being the hands and the feet of Jesus. But what about as individuals? We can't leave everything to the church assuming that someone else will do it. Because we have to take Jesus outside of the walls of the church. We have to meet the people where they are. We can't just wait for everyone to come to us. Individually, as I'm looking back at Scrooge and looking at his transformation and how it affected him and how it affected those around him, what did he do? He became, all of a sudden, he became interested in his clerk, Bob Cratchit. And he raised his salary because all of a sudden he became aware, oh my goodness, he's not even making enough money to take care of his family. Now all of a sudden he cared about his family. And he wanted to help his family. He became a second father to Tiny Tim, didn't he? Wanted to give him the medical treatment that he needed so he wouldn't die. Because all of a sudden, instead of, well, if they're going to die, they better hurry up and do it. It mattered to him that he was going to live and not die. He contributed money to the fund for the poor, that he was like, get out of here. I don't want to be bothered by this. He became a light in the community. He became a person in the community that people wanted, were glad to see coming instead of a burden on the town. He was active. His transformation changed him. And as a result, he did things that were tangible. We just finished the Angel Tree. Maria, she took that ministry on herself. And this happened because she drove it. It was hers. And she wanted to do something. She wanted to be involved. If you look at yourself, as I look at myself, there are people that you know that I know better than anybody else. We know these people in ways that nobody else does. We can speak into those lives in a way that nobody else can. Maybe they're not believers. Maybe they would never darken the door of the church. But we can have an impact in their lives. What about your neighbors? How do you care about your neighbors? Getting to know your neighbors in ways that go beyond just waving as you come and go. We live in a society that's incredibly isolated. Thanks to the internet, thanks to our mobile devices, thanks to all of our gadgets and things. And as a result, people crave human interaction and relationships. What about the waitress at the restaurant when you go out to eat? What about the clerks at the stores that you go? Are they excited to see you coming? Or do they think, oh my gosh, here they come. I have to wait on them. Lois was a waitress for a few years when she was in high school and college. And she has told me over and over and over and over again, she's like, oh my gosh, when I was waitressing, the church people, they were the worst. They would come in, they would be demanding, they would run you all over the place, and then they would leave you a lousy tip or no tip at all. Or they'd be really good. It's like, I'm going to leave you something really important. I'm going to leave you a tract instead of a tip because that's worth more. Okay, maybe it is. But if you're a waitress working your tail off and you come after somebody's worked you to death, and instead of a tip, you see a tract. It's like, really? The hands and the feet of Jesus to those around us. When our kids were younger, when our kids were with us, we opened our home for a number of years as foster parents. Diagnostic parents, but we took in children that were had severe emotional problems, and we gave them a place to live as they were trying to work with a counselor and work through issues to try to move in back into a less structured environment. And in that capacity, we got to invest in the lives of these kids. We got to invest in the lives, to a certain extent, of their parents, of the social workers, the counselors that were working with them, the police officers that were involved in their lives because they were in the system. And we had a chance to speak into those lives. When our kids were little, our home was always welcome to our kids' friends, especially our middle son, Jonah, especially his friends, because his friends, they all came from highly dysfunctional families. But during the time, they would eat dinner with us. They would go to church with us sometimes. They would do Advent with us during Christmas. And they liked it. They liked it because it was so totally foreign from what they had in their own homes, and it was very inviting. They learned about Jesus. They learned about God. What about the stranger that God puts in your path? Just random interactions. When our kids were young, we would always, I say we, Lois and I, we were always up until well after midnight into the wee hours of the morning, wrapping gifts and getting stuff under the tree after the kids went to bed. It was a normal occurrence, you know, getting to bed for a few hours, maybe for a nap, before the kids woke up and got us up again. And one night, we were doing that. It was a cold night. And there was a knock on the window. We turned around, and there's this goofy guy standing on our porch looking in the window. And he says, "I know what you're doing, and I want to help. I want to be an elf too." And Lois, being Lois, she went to the door. We didn't know who this guy was. Never seen him before. She goes to the door, opens the door, invites him in. His name was Scott. He was 19 years old. He was our neighbor across the street in an apartment we'd never seen before. He was spending his first Christmas away from his family because he was gay and his parents had thrown him out of the house. And he was drunk as a skunk. Oh, he was a mess. And he came in and sat and visited with us as we were finishing things up. And Lois looked at him and said, "Scott," knowing that he was having Christmas all alone for the first time ever, and it was really hard on him. One of the reasons he was drunk. And she said, "We're having Christmas dinner tomorrow. We would like to invite you to come and join us for Christmas dinner, but I have one condition. We have small children. You need to come sober." And he did. He came, he was excited to be there, and even brought a can of corn to contribute to our Christmas feast. And after that, he went to church with us on a few occasions. He heard the gospel. He shared Advent with us on a number of occasions. Some stranger that knocked on our window, standing on our porch one Christmas well after midnight. But we responded. And one morning, Lois was looking at the paper and she started to cry. The paper talked about a young man that was found dead, either in the creek or by the creek. And it was Scott. Someone had killed him because he was gay. I don't remember all the particulars right now. And every year when we come to Christmas, and Lois stops and she thinks about Scott. But Scott knew that somebody loved him. Scott knew that God loved him. Scott experienced that acceptance, that love. You know, this time of year around the holidays, Families are important. They are. They're very important. This is a family time. But as believers, we should always have room at our table for one more. For those that maybe are going through a hard time, maybe are, for whatever reason, are spending a holiday alone and welcoming them in so that they don't have to go through that alone. It's something that we have done here in the States, something that we've done in Russia. And we get together as family, but there's always others that are there as well. And it's a wonderful time. You know, as missionaries, we're not so different. What we do there is not so different than what we would do here. Reaching out, getting to know the tailor, getting to know the workers at the grocery store, getting to know our neighbors, and they're always interested in practicing their English on us, which is why our Russian is so terrible. But, you know, and they come up with some English words, and they're so proud of themselves because they've accomplished something. But as we are open to them, the question always comes up, what are you doing as an American here? And it gives us an opportunity to talk about Jesus. We had an English cafe that met in the school cafeteria back years ago. When we first got there, the English cafe has been defunct now for many years. But we gathered together and we just invited Russians to come in, and it was a time to simply practice their English. That was really all it was, nothing else. And we would choose topics that would lend themselves to having spiritual conversations. And we had a home discussion group, a group that came out of that into our home to have a little bit deeper discussion. Out of that, there are three Russian young men that we are still in touch with after 14 years. Sergei, Sasha, Dima. They have been at our home for Advent. They've spent Thanksgiving with us, Christmas with us. We've spent national holidays together, just getting together, just enjoying. Before we left this summer, last summer, we made a point to visit with every one of them to say, hey, you know what? We're leaving. Things are changing. We don't know what's coming. We're going to be back, but we don't know what that's going to look like. And, you know, but being the hands and the feet of Jesus, being intentional about being involved in people's lives, caring, loving. So as we wrap up today, what is God telling us? Christmas is not over. Christmas is just beginning. Because we need to take Christmas into the new year. The message of Christmas is God dwelling among us as Jesus in the flesh, within us as the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us all of the time, and dwelling through us to others as the hands and the feet of Jesus. So I leave you with one question as we go into the new year, and the same question I have for myself. What will you do to take Christmas into the new year? As the worship team comes for our last hymn, let's bow for a word of prayer, okay? Let's pray together. Father, the message of Christmas is God, is Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, you live within us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, living with inside of us at all times, but also living through us to others. Father, as we come into 2025, help us to take Christmas with us, to live Christmas, God with us, all 365 days of the year, and to think about how we will be the hands and feet of Jesus. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.